I didn't lose the money all at once. That would have been clean. A single blow, a single scream in my head, something you can point to and say, there, that's where it happened. But this wasn't like that. This was the kind of loss that arrives dressed as a solution, the kind that calls you by your first name, like it's doing you a favor. The kind that makes you feel seen, right up until you realize what it actually saw was your need. It happened during the week, when the air smells like cold metal and cinnamon, when the world pretends warmth is a guarantee if you string enough lights across it. It happened when I was tired enough to be grateful for anything that sounded like certainty, and it started with a message that looked like money already belonged to me. The email came at 6:04 a.m., while my apartment was still dark enough to feel unfinished. I was standing barefoot on the kitchen tile, phone in one hand, kettle in the other, watching the little blue flame burn like a secret. My eyes were gritty. My jaw ached from clenching in my sleep. I hadn't even taken a sip of water, and I was already bracing for the day, the way you brace for a slap you've trained yourself to expect. Subject: seasonal payout confirmation, action required. I clicked it so fast my thumbs stuttered. There it was, a neat, friendly block of text with my name in the first line, like we were old friends who'd been through something together. It said I qualified for a seasonal payout because of consistent account engagement. It said the payout would be released today. It said all I had to do was confirm my final deposit to unlock it. It used the word unlock, like the money was a door I'd been leaning on for months. I reread the number twice. It wasn't a fortune. It wasn't life-changing. But it was the exact amount my brain had been quietly begging for in the background of every thought, enough to cover rent and groceries and the car insurance I'd been pretending wasn't due, enough to let me breathe for 10 days. The kettle began to whistle. I didn't move. My shoulders had started to loosen before I even realized I was letting them. I stared at my own name on the screen, watching my hope inflate like a balloon in a room full of sharp objects. And in the corner of the email, small, polite, almost apologetic, was a countdown timer. Offer expires in. My heart did something ugly. Not excitement. Not. More like relief turning into urgency. Relief sharpening into a blade. Because the timer didn't feel like an option. It felt like a threat dressed in a ribbon. Chapter 1. Emotional attachment before harm. I'd been telling myself I was fine. That's what you do when you don't have the luxury of falling apart. You keep moving because stopping feels like dying. You break your life down into manageable pieces. Pay this bill. Ignore that one. Eat something. Sleep if you can. Repeat. In November, my job cut hours temporarily. They used that word like it had arms around me. Temporary. Seasonal slowdown. Nothing personal. Just a dip. But temporary has a way of stretching when you're the one holding the other end. Temporary becomes months. Temporary becomes a new normal that nobody warns you is permanent until you look up and realize you've been holding your breath for half a year. My checking account had become a place I avoided. I checked it the way you check a bruise, half dreading what you'll see, half needing to know if it's getting worse. I opened it quickly, like the numbers could bite me, like looking too long would invite them to shrink. So when that email showed up with a payout number that fit my life like a key, I didn't question whether it was real. I questioned whether I deserved it, because that's what stress does. It doesn't just make you broke, it makes you suspicious of good news. Still, the email was polished, clean. It used the same logo I'd seen 1,000 times, the same colors, the same tone that big companies use when they want to sound like they care without committing to anything. It told me I'd been selected due to consistent contributions and seasonal account standing. It congratulated me, lightly, like it wasn't a huge deal. It had a button that said, confirm payout. Under it, in smaller text, it said, to prevent fraudulent claims, payout unlock requires a final verification deposit. There was also a customer support number, a chat icon, and a line that told me I could opt out if I didn't want the payout. Opt out, like turning down free oxygen. I sat at my kitchen table, the kettle screaming itself hoarse behind me, and I stared at the countdown timer. 1 hour. 1 minute, 20-something seconds. My first instinct was to call my sister. She's the kind of person who reads fine print the way other people read novels. She's the person who doesn't get taken. But it was early, too early. and I could already hear the tone in her voice if she picked up, warm, sleepy, slightly annoyed, and I didn't want to hand her my desperation like a wet rag. So I did what I always do when I'm embarrassed by how badly I want something. I tried to prove to myself that I was being smart. I clicked the chat icon. A window popped up immediately. Maya, good morning. I see you're eligible for our seasonal payout. I'm here to help you unlock it quickly. Quickly. Everything was quickly. I typed with stiff fingers. Is this real? I've never seen this before. Three dots appeared, then a message. Absolutely. We run seasonal engagement bonuses for qualified accounts. You're on our verified list. Congratulations. Congratulations. It felt like my name being said gently. The agent asked me to confirm the last four digits of my phone number. I did. She asked for my zip code. I did. She asked me to confirm my email address. I did. Each question was small and harmless on its own. Each one felt like a normal security check. Each answer made me feel like I was being careful, like I was earning the payout by being responsible. Maya explained that the verification deposit was required because of increased holiday fraud. She told me it would be added back to my payout immediately. It's just to match the payout release to your account ledger, she said. Ledger release verified list. Words that sounded official enough to make my brain relax. She sent me a link. This is your secure deposit portal. It expires with the timer for your security. For your security. The timer ticked down. My throat tightened. I clicked the link. It opened a page that looked identical to the banking portal I'd used for years. Same layout, same font, same cheerful little icons that pretend money is playful. It asked me to log in. I did. It showed me my account balance. That was the part that made me trust it. Because it didn't just look right. It knew things. And in that moment, I didn't think, this is a trap. I thought, finally, something went right. The deposit prompt appeared. It told me the verification deposit amount. It wasn't huge. It was annoying, but manageable. It was just enough to make me hesitate. Just enough to make me feel like I was making a real decision. The timer hit, and I could feel my body respond to the number the way it responds to a siren. I imagined missing it. Imagined rent. Imagined the quiet humiliation of telling myself again that I should have moved faster. My hand hovered over the button, and then a message from Maya popped up. I'm here with you. Once you press confirm, your payout will be released within minutes. Here with you. It felt like someone holding my elbow at the edge of a cliff. I pressed confirm. The page refreshed. A green check mark appeared. Verification deposit received. Unlocking payout, and something inside me unclenched so hard it almost hurt. I leaned back in my chair. I exhaled. For the first time in weeks, I let myself picture a normal day. Groceries without calculating every item. Gas without praying the pump would stop early. A holiday dinner where I didn't stare at my plate like it was math. Then the screen blinked. A new message appeared. Additional verification required, and the timer kept running like it had never promised me anything. At first, my brain refused to accept the shift. It's amazing how long the mind will protect itself by pretending nothing has changed. It will stand in the burning room and convince itself the heat is temporary. The new message said there was a ledger mismatch. It said the verification deposit had to be matched again because the payout was high priority and required dual confirmation. Dual confirmation. It offered a solution, a second deposit equal to the first to complete the match. Maya's chat bubble appeared almost instantly. Don't worry. This happens sometimes when the system flags seasonal payouts. It's automatic. Once you do the second match, it clears. I typed back, why didn't it say that at first? Three dots. Because most users clear on first match. You're still safe. I'm monitoring it. Monitoring. Safe. Still. The timer hit run. I felt my stomach drop, but not fully. Not yet. I still believed I was in a process. That was the trick. It felt like paperwork, not danger. It felt like bureaucracy. Annoying, confusing, inevitable. I told myself it would be stupid to stop now, because stopping would mean I'd already lost the first deposit for nothing. And I couldn't afford for it to be for nothing. So I did the second one. I watched my balance shrink. I watched the confirmation checkmark appear again. Unlocking payout. I waited. A minute passed. Two. The chat window stayed bright and present, like a witness. Like accountability. Maya sent a reassuring message without me asking. Almost done. You're doing great. You're doing great. The words landed in the place where my pride lived. It was such a small thing, being told I was doing great, but it made me sit up a little straighter, like I'd accomplished something. Then the page refreshed again. Final deposit required to prevent reversal. Final. Required. The timer hit. Before. My hands went cold. I stared at the words until they blurred, because the third deposit was bigger. Not impossible, but bigger in a way that made my body react like it was being asked to hand over blood. I whispered out loud, alone in my kitchen, "What?" Maya's message appeared like it had been waiting. "This is the last step, I promise. The system is preventing payout reversal due to seasonal fraud spikes. Once you complete, payout releases immediately." I could feel my pulse in my throat. I could feel my brain try to climb out of my skull and run. I typed slowly. "I don't have that much." Three dots. "You do. I can see your available transfer options. You can use instant transfer from your savings or linked account. I can guide you." Guide you. I didn't understand how she could see that. That should have terrified me. Instead, it made me feel held, like I wasn't alone in the maze. That's what I didn't realize in real time. I wasn't being guided out. I was being guided deeper. I hesitated long enough for the timer to hit. In my head, I saw the payout disappearing if I didn't move. I saw myself explaining to myself later that I'd been too scared, too slow, too weak. And there was another feeling, a quiet one, underneath the panic. Shame, because if this was real, and I missed it, it would be my fault. I asked Maya if there was another way. She replied quickly, "If you can't do the full match, you can do partial, and the system will auto-adjust, but it may delay payout beyond the holiday window. I don't want you to lose your eligibility." Lose your eligibility. I could feel my own need being played like a string. The holiday window. The deadline. The idea that this was my one shot. I opened my savings account. It was thin. A sad little emergency fund I'd been building in $10 and $20 pieces, like a child stacking blocks. I stared at it. My mouth went dry. I thought about rent. I thought about the car. I thought about the look on my mother's face when she asks how work is going. And I say fine, because I don't want to be her problem. The timer hit 0:11. I told myself I would put it back as soon as the payout hit. I told myself this wasn't spending, it was unlocking. A temporary move for a permanent fix. I made the transfer. I pressed confirm. Green checkmark. Final match received, releasing seasonal payout. I didn't breathe until the screen refreshed. And when it did, the page didn't show a payout. It showed a loading wheel, then a new message. Payout release pending, manual review required. Please contact support. Contact support. I was already in support. I typed frantic. It says manual review. What does that mean? Three dots. It's standard. Don't panic. Manual review is a safeguard. You'll receive payout within 24 hours. The timer still ran, now down to 8. I stared at the countdown and realized something I didn't want to realize. The timer wasn't protecting me. It was controlling me. I asked Maya why it was still counting down if I'd completed everything. Three dots. It's just the offer window. You've locked your eligibility. You're safe. Safe. The word hit wrong now. Like a blanket someone throws over you after they've already taken your wallet. My hands started to shake. I refreshed my bank app, the real one, the one on my phone that wasn't in a browser. I saw the three transfers, I saw my balance, and I saw something else, a notification that my password had been changed. I didn't remember changing it. I stared at the notification like it was written in a language I used to know. Then another notification, new device logged into your account. My chest tightened so fast it felt like a punch. I tried to log in. It rejected me. I tried again. Rejected. My fingertips went numb. I went back to the chat window and typed with a kind of desperation that felt animal. "I can't log into my account. What did you do?" The three dots appeared and then stopped. No reply. I waited. Nothing. I typed again. "Hello?" Nothing. The chat window refreshed and the agent name, Maya, vanished. The whole chat vanished, like it had never been there. The portal page blinked once and the logo at the top shifted slightly. Just enough for my brain to finally catch what it had been missing. The letters weren't quite right. The spacing was off. The font was a counterfeit smile. I sat very still. I felt something slide through me, slow and cold, like a blade being drawn out of a wound you didn't know you had. Because suddenly, all the reassurance in the world meant nothing. Because suddenly, I wasn't in a process. I was in a crime scene, and the person who had been here with me had never been a person at all. When the panic hit, it didn't come like a scream. It came like silence, the kind of silence that floods your ears until you can't hear your own thoughts. I stood up too fast and the room tilted. I grabbed the edge of the counter, hard, like the laminate could anchor me to reality. My first impulse was to call the bank. My second was to throw my phone. Instead, I did neither. I just stared at the screen and kept refreshing, like repetition could rewrite what had happened. I found the email again. This time, I looked at the sender address. It wasn't the bank. It was a string of letters that mimicked the real domain, like a face wearing someone else's skin. I felt nauseous. I thought about the countdown timer and realized it had been designed to do one thing: make me hurry, make me bypass the part of myself that asks questions. I didn't feel angry yet. I felt it. That was the real injury. Not just that the money was gone, but that my trust had been turned into evidence against me. I called the bank. When I finally reached a human voice, I heard my own voice crack in a way that made me hate myself. I explained it, stumbling, trying to make it sound reasonable. I said words like seasonal payout and verification deposit out loud, and they sounded ridiculous in the air, like a lie I should have recognized. The woman on the phone didn't laugh. That almost made it worse. She asked me to confirm my identity. She asked me to answer security questions I suddenly couldn't remember. She asked me for details about transactions I'd performed myself, and as I answered, I felt the shape of what had been done to me settle into place. Not just theft, a tailored theft, a theft built around my timing, my stress, my hunger for relief. The bank froze my account. They told me they'd investigate. They used careful language. We'll do what we can. No guarantees. Fraud claims can take time. Time. As if time was something I had. After I hung up, I sat on the floor with my back against the cabinet. The tile was cold. My knees were pulled to my chest like I was trying to make myself smaller. I stared at nothing and tried to calculate how long it would take to rebuild what I'd just handed away. I didn't cry right away. I kept thinking about the moment I exhaled when the first green check mark appeared. That exhale felt like the moment they got me. Because it wasn't just my money they took. They took my relief. They took the first softening I'd allowed myself in weeks, and they turned it into a weapon. Later that day, my sister called. I answered and tried to sound normal. She asked how I was. I said fine out of habit. She heard the lie immediately. She always does. What happened? She asked. And for a second, I almost told her everything. I almost put it in her hands, the way a child hands over a broken toy, hoping someone older can fix it. But the shame rose faster than the words. So I gave her a half-truth. Just bank stuff, I said. She paused, and in that pause I could hear her mind turning over possibilities. Did you click something? She asked softly. That softness broke me more than anger would have. Because it wasn't accusation. It was understanding, which meant she already knew this was the kind of mistake someone makes when they're desperate. I didn't answer. I couldn't. I hung up after a few minutes with some excuse about work. When the call ended, I stared at my phone, and something ugly curled inside my stomach. Not hatred for the scammer, not rage, a different kind of dread, because now I knew something about myself I hadn't wanted to know. I knew exactly how I could be moved, exactly what kind of promise could make me override my own instincts. Timer, a reward, a voice that sounds like it's on your side. I kept replaying Maya's messages in my head, the way she said, "You're doing great." It wasn't the words themselves that haunted me. It was how easily they landed, how quickly I let them become a substitute for my own judgment. That night, I lay in bed and watched the ceiling, and every time I closed my eyes, I saw the countdown timer. I saw it not as numbers, but as a feeling, the sensation of being rushed into betrayal. I realized something then, in the dark, that made my throat tighten again. The scam wasn't just designed to take money. It was designed to make you participate, to make your own hand the instrument, to make you complicit in your own undoing. Because that's what stays with you afterward. Not just the loss, the fact that you pressed the button, that you did it, that you wanted it to be true so badly, you helped it become real. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat. I sat at the edge of my bed in the early morning light and listened to the building wake up. Pipes clanking, someone's shower running, footsteps above me. Life continuing like nothing had happened. And the worst part was how normal the email had looked, how ordinary the trap was, how easily it could happen again. Not because I'm careless, but because I'm human, because I'm tired, because I'm broke, because I wanted a holiday bonus the way drowning people want air. I opened my phone and searched my inbox for the email again, like I needed to look at it one more time to make sure it wasn't a nightmare. It was still there, my name still at the top, the promise still bright, the button still waiting. And I realized, with a slow, sick clarity, that the email hadn't just tried to steal my money. It had tried to rewrite my relationship with hope, to make me flinch the next time something good shows up, to make me question the next kindness, to poison the part of me that still believed relief was possible. I deleted it. Then I sat there, staring at the empty space it left behind, and I understood that the payout was never the point. The point was what it would cost me to believe in it. And the part that still makes my chest tighten, even now, is this. I didn't lose the money when I clicked the link. I lost it the moment I let the countdown timer convince me that peace has an expiration date.